Now, Australia has long been a laboratory of reform, especially in the field of health and safety. Victoria was the first jurisdiction in the world to mandate the use of seatbelts. That was back in 1970. This century, Australia's plain tobacco packaging rules were copied by other countries. Next week, we'll see another world first when the ban comes in on social media accounts for users under 16 years old. We've been talking to some kids who are going to be affected by the ban.
No, I can't imagine my life without social media because my social life is going to be severely affected.
I don't think the social media ban is a good idea because people are going to be able to find a way around.
And also, like, we've had so many years to grow up and revolve our lives around these specific apps. You can have a job at 14 and you're implying a ban for social media at 16. Like, it doesn't really make any sense.
I get their motive. Clearly, social media can be harmful for young children because of issues like cyberbullying and disrupted sleep patterns. But by the time you're 16, social media has become such a big part of our lives that it just feels like you're being cut off from your friends and a big part of our culture.
I use TikTok, Snapchat, Roblox, Be Real, Instagram, and I will be looking to get around it if other people can, because obviously if other people have the apps, like, I want to have them as well.
Definitely, like, I am a bit, like, addicted, but I feel like them protecting us is not really, like, a really smart thing because, well, I've got Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat, and I've got X, and you don't need an account to access these. I can just use them. But also, I can use my parents' name and account and just use it under their name.
But the main people who will be affected by it are younger children who probably shouldn't be on social media anyway. So I guess it's a net positive overall, and I think they should probably go ahead with it.
Absolutely fascinating. Well, to walk us through how it all works and what parents, teens and platforms need to know ahead of the ban, let's talk to Professor Susan Sawyer, a world-renowned expert in adolescent health from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute in Victoria, and Bryce Corbett, the host of another award-winning podcast, The Squiz Kids, a daily news podcast for kids. Thank you both for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Good morning.
Professor Susan Sawyer, it's probably worth describing the problem this ban is addressing. The stats on this really are alarming. 96% of Australian kids between the ages of 10 and 15 use social media. 7 out of 10 have been exposed to harmful content such as misogynistic and violent material. It's a big problem.
Look, it is a challenging problem, and I think you're right to be recognising that the implementation of this ban is a social experiment that Australia is leading the world on. But I think, as I think many of us would appreciate, this exposure to potentially harmful material to very young children is equally a social media experiment without guardrails.
Bryce Corbett, is this a ban whose time has come? Are we going to look back on this and think, hang on a minute, why didn't we do this 10 years ago?
Yeah, I'm the parent of two teenagers, a recently turned 16-year-old and a 17-year-old, and I'm looking back on the last 10 years and thinking, honestly, as parents, we've been asleep at the wheel. I think I was probably the first generation of parents that just blithely handed our children an iPad or a smartphone without really understanding what they were doing with it or where they were going on the internet with them. And I suspect a lot of damage has probably been done in the process.
Let's start with an idiot's guide. Let's start with the basics. Which sites are being banned, Susan Sawyer, and which sites are still okay?
Look, currently the Australian government is planning on banning or has suggested that they're banning 10 sites. So these are referred to as age-restricted sites. That includes Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, YouTube, Facebook, Reddit, X, and Threads. And indeed, whilst this ban is going to be starting from implemented on Wednesday, Meta, as we know, has already started shutting down new accounts from December the 4th. So currently 10, but the government has been clear that this starting point won't be the ending point, and that there is every expectation that there will be a wider range of sites included as time goes on and as tech companies understandably try and pivot to get around it.
Yeah, and Susan, so how have they decided which ones get banned and which ones are still allowed?
Look, it's very much framed around some very explicit criteria about the primary intention being connection between people. So between more than two people is the definition. So their definitions are clear, are explicit. I think there is some question that many of us have in terms of some of the elements within, for example, gaming platforms that similarly allow the same sorts of social connections that other social media sites have that currently aren't included within the age-restricted sites. And this is what I mean. I think that there is going to have to be, in time, broader rethinking of how that definition is actually implemented.
Bryce, you were actually with the Communications Minister, Annika Wells, in a classroom in Brisbane recently when she faced questions from the kids who were going to be affected by the ban. Take us into that classroom. Tell us what happened. It was fascinating.
Yeah, it was amazing. We took the minister to a school in her electorate so that she could see newshounds in action in a classroom. Newshounds is a media literacy program, a free media literacy program that we've developed at Squiz Kids and is now in about 5,000 classrooms around the country. And it was interesting listening to these were 12-year-old girls the minister took questions from the girls after the demonstration of Newshounds. And the questions were all about the teen social media ban, and specifically they wanted to know why different apps like Lemonade and Omegle and 4chan were not captured by the teen social media ban. And the minister acquitted herself very well on the spot. And we both nodded and went, yes. And she said, of course, those things will be looked at. But afterwards, we both acknowledged we had no idea what they were talking about and quickly had to go away and Google what those particular apps were. And I think this is something of the challenge that the government's now going to face. It's going to be very much a whack-a-mole exercise when it comes to trying to keep abreast of what apps kids are using. We saw a surge in the Australian App Store, in the Apple App Store, this massive surge to a social media app called Yope, which I'd never heard of, but that suddenly surged to the top of the Apple App Store charts because kids, in the way that kids do, are finding ways around the rules, and they're finding places that they're going to gather online which are not captured within the teen social media ban.
Yeah, I'd never heard of Lemonade afterwards. No. I asked my daughter last night. She's heard of it. Everybody's downloading it. And Susan, so this speaks of the problem, doesn't it? I mean, how is this ban going to be policed? Aren't kids just going to find workarounds?
So I think the important thing to know is that kids themselves are not going to be policed, but it is the age-restricted social media platforms that are going to be policed by Australia's eSafety Commissioner. And there are very significant fines, up to $49.5 million Australian dollars, that are potentially out there for those companies that don't implement appropriate approaches to limit or prevent under 16-year-olds from accessing those sites. Obviously, and as the Minister for Communications herself has said, that there is every expectation that this isn't going to be perfect on December the 10th. So this is going to be very much a work in progress. But it's very apparent that these companies are taking it seriously. Mm. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But young people themselves, nor parents, are at risk of fines themselves. But, you know, we would be very hopeful that parents are also taking seriously the intention behind this delay, as, you know, challenging as it is for young people already on social media and obviously for their parents as well.
Bryce, we've been talking about what the rest of the world can learn from Australia, but I know you've been trying to learn from the rest of the world recently, haven't you? You've conducted this big research trip to see how other countries are dealing with the problem of over-reliance on screens and the misinformation they spew. Give us your key takeaways from that research trip.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have been awarded a Churchill Fellowship earlier this year, and I travelled to the United States, to the UK, to France, Estonia and Finland to see how those countries were mandating media literacy education to not just protect their their populations from the worst effects of mis and disinformation, but also to safeguard their democracies. And that was especially writ large in countries like Estonia and Finland, who, by dint of having Russia as a neighbour, have spent the better part of both of their lives as fledgling democracies fending off mis and disinformation and propaganda from Russia, such that they have created in those countries cradle to the grave media literacy education. So from the minute that kids are born and are, become literate, they're starting to be taught to think critically about information that they receive, very especially content that they might be consuming online. And that will continue, that education effort will continue right through to the senior members and the elderly members of the populations of those countries, because both of the countries have understood that if you don't have a digitally literate citizenry, then your democratic institutions are in serious danger of crumbling.
And I know you're doing a lot on digital literacy as the host of that kids podcast, The Squiz Kids. It's a great podcast. Bryce Corbett, thank you so much for joining us. Professor Susan Sawyer, a world-renowned expert in adolescent health from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute in Victoria. Look, we will have you both back on in 6 months' time. How about that? And we'll see how this ban is working out.
Look forward to it.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.